Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's time for episode 654 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint Super Strike.
Oh yeah.
And I'm your host. It's a SAG strike summer. And I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, aka Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me as always, Brett Peter BPM Morris, aka Starred. What's up, Starred?
What's going on? We don't scab on this show.
No scab.
No.
No scab summer.
No scab summer. And it's a perfect time for this because you're not supposed to be working too hard in summer anyway.
That's right. People now have time off, even if it's self-imposed. It's kind of like quitting, striking. Well, it's not like quitting, but you know what I mean. It's not like the boss gave you the day off. And yeah. So now they could go to the beach or what have you. I wonder if this will have like residual effects like.
Oh, residual. You're mentioning residual.
Already. Oh, I broke the rules. Did I break the rules?
You can't even say the word residual.
My God. Bob Iger's coming after me.
Yeah.
No, but the pandemic, right? The pandemic happened. And then that kind of like, oh, we got all these albums from these bands that were stuck inside. Like it had this byproduct.
Right.
I wonder what'll happen. Like, all these actors and performers and writers on strike, we may get, vacation travelogues. Like they go to Italy, but they turn it into a cookbook. They turn it into that kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a lot more chant songs.
Right on. Well, these are dispatches from the front lines. I mean, this thing is going on right now. Nobody knows which way it's going to go. I don't even know all the players involved, but maybe we can discuss that and find that out today. We have now our guest coming in. No stranger to all these unions, I bet. He's an actor, writer, performer. You've seen him all over the comedy Bang Bang world and other places. Please welcome in Ronnie Adrian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Great. It's good to have you on. First timer for the charts.
First timer. You're here at a tumultuous time.
Yeah, but that's when I like to come on something the most, is when it's seemingly like, oh, everything is going to shit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you'll maybe save us, or maybe you'll give us a hope to continue.
Well, honestly, this is low pressure for me because if the ship goes down, I go, well, the ship was already going down. That's not my fault. And if ship rises, then I go, well, the ship was going down, so obviously I helped rise.
Oh, shit. All right. Brad, it's all on us this week. It's all on us. Right. Hey, so, this thing broke out, with the writers, and now it's extra mega big, the biggest in our lifetimes. They say the biggest in 60 years.
Biggest since 1960, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is massive. There's so many people involved at this point.
But, you know, with all these people involved, it's kind of like hard to figure out who's... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Fran Drescher is she's the head of SAG-AFTRA.
Right.
Right? So if she's like say it was like Civil War or whatever, she's Grant, then who's, You know what I'm saying? Who's the head of the other side? You know what I mean? Like if this was right. a fight or something, like who's over there? The head of Disney? Like who's, you know what I'm saying? Like when they came after Harvey Weinstein, it was like, all right, we're fighting Weinstein. He's Hitler. He's, you know.
It's the head of the AMPTP, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so but I guess
that's the producers.
Yeah, but that does, I guess that does go with who is.
Yeah, who is that?
Is it like every one of these big sort of corporations, like a Disney and a Netflix and a Hulu or whoever? Do they all sort of look at the things and then they fight with each other first? Like, well, we don't want to give them this, and then Hulu's like, I mean, I'll give it to them, and they're like, no, none of us give it. You're like, how does that work?
Yeah, that's why I think it's such a crazy big war, is because. Yeah. They're fighting, like Netflix is doing better than the other streamers. And then so they're all positioning against themselves. They're saying Disney might sell ABC, like to get rid of all the TV stuff, just sell. Right.
Yeah, they're running for the hills. Like in HBO apparently is now going to license a bunch of stuff out. Like all the platforms are acting insane at the same time.
Right. Well, I guess whoever the spokesman is for AMPTP, that would be like the Darth Vader. That would be like the guy.
Here's the name I just Googled, and this is the first time I've heard the name. Carol Lombardini.
Carol Lombardini?
Yeah.
And she's what, the president or something?
Yeah, I guess just the head of the AMPTP, Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Okay. Well, I did a simultaneous Google.
Uh-huh.
And I'm coming up with Scott Row.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Oh,
they use
that's how they get you.
They use aliases.
They this divide you. Oh, yeah, this is Shapeshifter. Totally. No, okay, it says here he's the spokesman. So that's like the White House has like the person who does all the press conference stuff.
Right.
So maybe Scott works for Carol. Carol represents all the studios, all the production companies.
Did you see that the chief negotiator for SAG-AFTRA, what his name was? This is the first time I saw it was in this press conference with Fran Drescher. His name is...
Yes, wild. Duncan Ireland.
Crabtree Ireland.
Yeah.
His last name is literally Ireland.
Yeah.
Told me that guy existed before this. Like, that should be a bigger deal.
Let me ask you this. If your mother's name is Crabtree and she doesn't want to drop that shit to take the new guy's name, like, what's going on there?
She doesn't. She thought it's too on the nose, maybe. Just Ireland.
Dad's a simp. He should say, hey, listen, you're dropping that name.
She liked the Crabtree.
Oh my God. If I get married and she's some girl, she's like, I'm keeping the Crabtree Kremer.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell?
Forget it. Find someone else named Crabtree.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But he's in there, I guess, and he works for Fran Drescher.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So what you're saying is, we should be posting more quotes about what Carol Lombardini said as opposed to Bob Iger said this in the news or
yeah, maybe
else.
So. Maybe. She's the head.
If they were smart, they probably would. Cause I don't know who is telling Bob Iger to run his mouth like to the press. Like there's no way that's going to do any good for them.
Yeah. I mean,
everything he says just sounds shitty and terrible coming from him.
Yeah. Wasn't he was saying like, hey, this is just a terrible time to do this. Like,
yeah,
hey,
he
really
said
bad.
This is very disruptive, actually.
Very disruptive.
We got a lot of irons in the fire right now that could really make us a lot of money. And
imagine
this is really disrupting.
Yeah, why are you doing this?
Yeah, imagine the strikers going, oh, wait, he's right. This is pretty disruptive.
Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, we didn't think about that.
Oh, okay. This could hurt our boss who we're trying to get more money from. Right on. Well, I guess we'll keep up with that as we take you through this week's charts.
That's right.
But we'll get into the music chart. First, I'm going to quickly wrap the history of recorded music. Here we go. ¶¶ Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? MP. Oh, shit. Tunes. I should have said GPT.
Yeah.
Because the AI figures heavy into what we've been talking about. But anyway, there you go. That's the tune. Yeah. AI is almost not Boba Fett, but maybe kind of like R2-D2. It's like the robot involved in this whole thing.
It's the robot that can be used for both sides, really.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just droids. Yeah, basically.
It's like how the Empire, you know, has the same kind of droids and they're just bopping along. It's dogs.
Pretty wild that there's a big war and that there is robots involved. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. The craziest thing to me is that the executives don't seem to think that they could be replaced by AI. Like, to me, they almost seem the most replaceable.
You know?
Just making a bunch of financial decisions.
Right. That's an algorithm away from them losing all their jobs.
Totally.
Look, I'm not somebody who really digs into conspiracy theories. I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But even at the same time,
great start of a sentence.
So many. It does feel like that thing that is like, man, I mean, robots are taking over. There's a lot of movies about robots taking over. And then we're like kind of laughing about it. Because we're like, that would never happen, though.
I saw an Instagram ad or it was on Instagram or some platform like that. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was pure Blade Runner. It was for Intel. And they was saying, like, we can spot deep fakes now, like, with 96% accuracy. And it was having all this high-tech stuff showing,
and then
like,
you just have
a real person next to a deep fake person.
Yeah.
And it was using enhanced on their eyeballs and all this stuff. And it was like, that's literally the plot of Blade Runner, finding versus the replicants. Right. Wow, we're here now.
And that's real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came faster than I thought. Wow.
Yeah.
What about, did you guys see the King of Dubai's, like he has like a transformer bodyguard? Did you see that?
What? Seriously?
Yeah, you got to look that up real quick. It was on Reddit. Like, this is crazy. Dude. Because this is like, you know, you all see right. The Uber Eats robots look friendly, you know, like R2-D2. This guy looks like.
Wait, so the Dubai King bodyguard? King of Dubai.
Yeah.
Robot. Okay.
And he's like walking through some convention or something.
I gotta see this.
With his crew, and he's got the robot.
I love the kind of crazy shit that comes out of Dubai. It's always just beyond belief over there. It's
like,
you know?
They haven't read any of the sci-fi books that warn against any of this stuff. Like, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they just don't care.
It's like when they bring the lion, you know, they have a lion in their house and stuff.
They make Vegas look just totally moderate.
Yeah.
Here we go. King of Bahrain.
Oh, this is it. Yeah.
Arrives in Dubai with his robot bodyguard, fitted 360 with cameras and built in pistols.
Look at this thing.
Whoa. Okay. No way. No fucking way.
Try to get at him.
Why does he have a cape?
I'm about to say, what is that, a vest on? He got clothes?
he's already dripping.
Well, he loves the traditional garb of Bahrain. He's very into that.
He's conservative. He's a conservative robot.
Yeah, he puts on one of those hijab things. Robot, you don't need it. Robot, you don't need it.
That was straight up RoboCop. Whatever the thing's called in RoboCop.
How about that, too? Like, the thing makes so much noise. I can see it's like you can't hear your cell phone now. Like, why would he be better than a real human? But we were making fun of the Transformers movies because they always seem to have this disembodied voice and the thing doesn't make noise like a machine. Like, that's
how
it would sound like. Yeah. It would sound like a clunky mechanical thing. So,
yeah, that was absolute proof of what you were saying.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Bob Iger's going to have one of those things soon.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I mean, you try it.
You can afford it.
It's the end. Like, it's like better than having a personal army, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Wild stuff. That thing is like super indestructible. I mean, maybe if somebody had a bazooka or something, but
yeah,
like regular guns, RPG. No, it's eating those bullets.
Yep. And you can't push it over. It'll just like right itself, you know? It's just like,
yeah.
Yeah. No mercy. This is in the Schwarzenegger movie where he hand-to-hand combats with the robot in the end and ends up beating the robot off of sheer strength.
Right. Sheer will.
What do you guys think about the Ron Perlman clip? Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah, where he's like, that was crazy. Hey, motherfucker. Was
like, there's a lot of ways to lose your house.
Your house, yeah.
Yeah, we know where you live. It's like, damn.
So yeah, then here's the thing I wonder about that, though. Who is the beast? Who is the beast fighting in that one? We know Ron Perlman, but who is he talking about? Is that to Bob Iger?
Oh yeah, he seems like he knows who leaked that quote about like we'll just wait till they lose
or
their
like
homes.
We could leak. He's saying like I know who you are.
Yeah,
if I leak who you are,
right,
you could lose your house type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
an idle threat.
I wonder who it is. Maybe it's Carol Lombardo.
Yeah,
Lombardini.
Lombardini.
Like, to me, I see when Ron Perlman was like, I want you to, what did he say when he was, I guess he was saying like to scan him or like use his image.
Oh, scan
like,
his face.
Yeah, scan my face. I dare you. I scan my face. Scan yeah, yeah. Do it. Do it. Scan my face.
And that's funny. He's like, you see my like, face? You can't fake this.
Yeah, it's like that. Like not saying any of that, but that is the insinuation. Yeah. I assume because otherwise,
to be fair, his face
it's like
does
make
seem,
my day. Scan my face.
His face does seem more difficult to scan than like others. You
it
know,
does. They need to put a mask on it to make him palatable to audiences. Yeah. No, but Bob Iger could be like, all right, I'm going to send my robot bodyguard over to your house to scan your face. Like, what? You know what I mean? They can fake even the results of the AI scan, you know? Like, yeah. We find deep fakes, and then you could just fake the results. Do you know what I mean? It's
like, wild. How do you even... I mean, a robot like that, how does it get its energy? Is it solar-powered? Does it have to go into a charger?
You got to charge it at night.
Well, how do you beat this robot? Like, if it's solar-powered, do we just wait till at night to then sort of, like, drain it out?
Nice.
Or if it's not, so if it's electrical-powered, like, do we just run around a bunch until it sort of the energy wears out?
Yeah.
How do you defeat that?
It's like a video game. You got to figure out that one little loophole.
You
got to
turn on its Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and shit and run out its battery faster.
Okay.
You know?
I maybe get it sexually aroused somehow.
Show it a little iPod or whatever.
Yeah. It some internet clips. See if it messes with the circuitry. Figure this out. But then that is a conversation we should be having probably above all others. It's just how do we defeat these robots? Because that's what our grandkids are going to be doing.
Right. I mean, all of our stuff, because it's one thing to think, well, robots, I don't think there's going to be so many like humanoid robots coming through that we're going to have hand-to-hand combat. But it really doesn't matter because most of our stuff is so online and most of our things are just so intertwined with online. It's once the computer has it, it's
just
like,
going to be psychological blackmail. Robots, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
They're just fucking with us. Like,
I'll
AI
tell your
could've...
mother this right now if you don't do this.
An AI doing your mama jokes.
Send your search history to your mother right now. Would you like that?
Yeah. Hey, remember that $5,000 you've been coveting in your savings for so long?
Yeah.
I could just take that away and now you have nothing.
Now it's gone. You might as well gamble.
That's the plot of the new Mission Impossible, which I'm sure we'll get to later, basically.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like the AI could have leaked that quote to the press, you know, about...
Yeah, that could be running this whole thing.
Yeah, just dividing all of us, making us hate each other.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All the big bosses on the other side were... were like, well, I guess the other guy must have not wanted the, because if it's not unanimous, then we can't do it. So I guess maybe right. Netflix didn't want right, to give right. that thing. And it really is just yeah. AI sort of.
Yeah, they on. Actually.
Right. He's acting like he's on the phone with them. I got Reed Hastings from Netflix on the phone right now. What's that, Reed? You don't want to do it? Yeah, that's what it is. It's a tricky son of a bitch. He's like Loki.
All right, let's get into this music chart.
All right, let's do it.
I think it's about time we go back to the iHeart Country Radio chart.
Oh, nice. Okay.
What we do, Ronnie, is since country is it follows such a template, and they're always doing like a little twist on the title. Uh-huh. We take the title and we try to guess what the song's about.
Before we listen to the song, we try to guess what it's going to be about.
Oh, okay.
So coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is John Party with Your Heart or Mine.
Okay. Your Heart or Mine.
I mean, I guess the most obvious thing is just like, he's like, I'm going to break up with you first. It's either Your Heart or Mine.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like, who will be the first to have their heart broken between us?
Ooh. Yeah. How about, I guess I'm thinking the same. If there's a struggle, whose heart is going to win out, your heart or mine? But I got a better guess.
Okay.
The daughter, a lot of country songs are sad and tragic. The daughter needs a heart transplant. the husband says, or the wife says, we got to decide your heart or mine.
That's great.
Yeah, honestly, Howard, I hope it's yours. I hope it's yours.
Thank you so much.
All right.
It's good to have friends.
Here we go.
All it takes is a downtown bar. All it takes is some neon stars. A little you, a little me, in the same vicinity. And it's on. Everyone is the first, last time. Walk away, then we hit rewind. A little touch, a little buzz. Don't know what keeps keeping it up. Is it your heart or mine? Is it whiskey or wine? Is it something in wanna cross that line, girl? Playing with fire, they too far behind. Wow. It's just a matter of time till it finds your heart of mine.
Okay. One of us, he's saying, one of us is gonna get us into trouble. One of us is gonna put us over the top. Maybe.
This is actually like a little bit different than our guess.
Yeah, a tad bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A tad bit. He should have been going, what about you, mate? I'll stick this knife in your chest. Cut your organs out.
You wanted the daughter first. You know, something like that. Like,
this pregnancy was your idea.
Who's the guy in Indiana Jones at the Temple of the in Temple of Doom? Oh, yeah, pulls out with the heart.
Oh,
it's from his perspective.
Right. Well, it's always then it's your heart, it's their heart.
Yeah, it's
you
always
take your own heart out.
It's a trick question. Right.
That's true. Grab the own heart. Maybe they grab each other's hearts at the same time. One goes to the daughter, and then one of them eats it, like the guy in the Indiana Jones. Mm.
Something I noticed about that song was we've talked a lot about the production standards of new country.
Yeah.
And they're almost always just squeaky clean and polished.
Squeaky
and
clean,
super
yeah.
in your face, and they sound very modernized. That one actually had like a bit of a retro kind of like.
That one sounded like a Viagra commercial, the band in the Viagra commercial. This had that like middle aged rock kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Had kind of a.
Like they put like a filter on it or something, or it sounded kind of fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crank the amp up or something.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Justin Moore and Priscilla Block with You, Me, and Whiskey.
Same exact song.
I think that's a date song. Just a date song to me. Mm-hmm. The date is going to be you, me, and whiskey, and then we'll see what happens. Let's see where the night takes us.
Let's see where the three of us go. I will say this one's going to be a, there's going to be problems in this one. Like you, me and whiskey, we don't mix. Like we shouldn't, the three of us shouldn't get together.
Which in country is, I mean, they rarely have problems in their songs. So the take on that is very bold.
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb.
All right, I'm going to say whiskey is his dog. And he's saying this is gonna be our life together. It's gonna be you, me, and whiskey.
Oh, I thought you meant you were saying like Ronnie with it's a date. The three of them are going on a date. Little weird stuff with the dog. Okay, we can cut that.
I didn't mean that. All right, here we go.
Letting down your hair, double dog dare look in your eyes.
Oh, and you've been burning it at both ends. Been a hot minute since you flipped that switch.
Girl, it ain't nobody's fault to shut the world off and turn it back to win. It was you, me, and whiskey all night long. Sinking to the bottom of them country songs. Fire burning hot till the last drop's gone. Let's turn it up.
So if I got it right, it's reminiscing about the time before they worked so much.
Yeah. When it's they like, weren't stuck, when I wasn't stuck on this shift, I was banging you last night with that. Right.
It seems like, it's nostalgic for a time when they were both unemployed and just drinking.
And loving, just seeing how fast they can get to the bottom of a bottle.
Yeah. He seemed pretty indestructible by whiskey, you know? He's saying like, he's going all night long with her, with the whiskey. So it's like kudos to him.
They like that that couple in Sideways when he has to go back to get his wallet and the big guy's banging the anyway.
It was funny. It's a clip that I just seen just yesterday.
You mean Boogie
really?
Nights?
Yeah, I just seen that clip just yesterday.
Wasn't that Boogie Nights?
No. In Sideways, he's gotta go back to his house. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You did just see that yesterday for real?
100%. I just seen that clip yesterday.
What part of Pornhub was that on?
It's like classy movie. Only,
yeah, celebrities.
Only award-winning movies.
Yeah. But that was the same song though. It's just like, hey, me, you, and Booze, like that.
I'm going to be honest with you. We might not have gotten these 100% right, but at the same time, I feel like we knew exactly what these songs are going to be.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Like, I'm not surprised when I'm thinking that seems about right.
Yeah,
that's why I like this game, because it really is what we're going after with the game is the only thing that could possibly be surprising about these songs.
Right. Because
everything else is not going to be surprising.
No.
At all.
Let's see AI try to do. Yeah, we do. Yeah. They don't know how to.
Let's
sag.
See AI try to write a country song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on, Lombardini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go. Pen it up.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three,
Jordan Davis. Next Thing You Know.
But can I just say real quick, a lot of these country stars just have regular ass names now.
There's so many of them too.
Yeah. They don't sound like
when we count down the pop charts, it's Johnny basically Cash. The same people over and over again.
But I mean, there's generic ones, a lot of these guys.
Right.
Okay, what's the tune?
Next Thing You Know.
Oh, that could be anything. But it's probably Didn't Know I Was Looking for Love. Just went into that bar with my boys. Next Thing You Know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just the idea of just, hey, I'm just out here. I'm a player out here living the player lifestyle. Then next thing you know, I'm in love. You know? Mm-hmm.
Drinking Bud Lights before that whole thing.
Drinking Bud Lights, hanging out with my white friends. Next thing you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't do better than that. It's got to be that.
Yeah, this one, we don't even need to listen to this one.
By the way, I do think he should add a Crabtree Ireland to his name to make it hell yeah. Less,
Josh,
less
what was his name? Josh Jordan. Crabtree. Jordan Crabtree Ireland.
Here we go.
Swear that you're staying single, next thing you know. You meet a girl at a bar, and next thing you know.
There you go.
You woo! Get laughing, it's 2 a.m. You're telling your buddies, 3 months in, and she ain't moving in, but next thing you know. There's a U-Haul trailer, next thing you know. Your old apartment, it's y'all's new place. There goes the carpet, but the deer head stays. Next thing you know, you're saving money like never before, just spend it all at a jewelry store. Getting down on one knee on her mama's porch, just pray she don't say no. Next thing you know, your best
the deer head stays. That's not a bad name for a country song. The deer head stays.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I mean, and he said, I'm going to prove these guys right. Right from the start of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Nobody's going to get confused. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, this was a movie, third act in the first act, right from the jump.
Yeah, give it away. Here's where we're going. But yeah, this is an argument for AI, because AI could probably come up with the stuff we've heard. Like, it's always, sometimes we get a surprise, which is good, where it doesn't go the way we thought.
Yeah. This one, I guess the one tiny surprise to me is that denial in him. Like, he's saying, like, his buddies are saying, she's going to move in. And he's like, no. And then he's saying, next thing you know, there's
all right, right.
Right. But it sounds like this is a part two, yeah. Right?
I had
that. To me, it's like, is that the part that you want that first thing, that vibe of, like, hanging out with your buds first, yeah, and your body saying that sort of thing? But he just immediately.
Like, yeah, yeah. It was like the deflated balloon. We're already like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder what verse two is. Over. Like, verse two is like they're already in the afterlife or something. Next, yeah.
it'd be like if old school started where they're already busted, like all the fun's over.
Next thing you know, she took the deer head down.
Well, maybe the surprise of this is if we were to listen to verse two and three, the second verse is them having problems and they get a divorce. And then the third verse is him falling in love again. Like, oh, you know, right, saying he wouldn't follow. Like, that would right. be that would be the version that I would say is the good version of this.
Yeah, because
I hope it's just
you.
Not just him. Just and I love her some more, and we have kids, and I still love her. Then it's like, okay, what song is this?
Yeah, dude, he's just boring people at a bar who've heard the story a million times.
Yeah, we get it. You're in love. We're not. Yeah. We've all had terrible relationships.
Yeah, spice this thing up.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Oh, this is funny. Jelly Roll. The title is Need a Favor.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, I know.
You know this one?
From experience. I know that the artist is a tattoo face. Like, he kind of raps and stuff. He sings, right, but he also kind of raps, kind of.
Okay. So you're saying.
So I'm saying he's not like the generic frat boy, like, what was the last guy? Joshua, right, Crabtree, Ireland.
yeah.
This guy's more like he's going to tell you a gritty type of story. So,
okay,
what was the title?
Need a Favor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Need a Favor. This is
I need some money for my next tattoo.
Could be that. I'll get you that.
Yeah.
Filling on something on his face. Well,
the first thing I do know is he's going to need a favor. He's going to be asking somebody for something.
Yeah, this guy gets in trouble. He needs help. He needs to get bailed out. Definitely. All right, that's good. Let me throw in another one. Like, if you ever need a favor.
Oh, okay.
I'm the one. Because I'm going to need a favor. I don't know. I think this one's going to surprise us. That's my guess.
Okay.
I only talk to God when I need a favor.
To God or God?
I only
God.
Pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect a savior? Oh, if I only talk to God when I need a favor. God, I need a favor.
Ronnie was right. He needed a favor. He was like,
that's so funny. That sounds like exactly like Nickelback, by the way. Like,
right, yeah.
It's like one for one.
But he sounded like a guy who needed a favor because they always come up to you and they go, well, here's the thing. And so it's like this, but yeah, I need $500.
Yeah, but in this scenario, he only talks to God when he needs a favor. So
yeah,
he's sort of like,
it's confessional.
It's confessional, taking himself to task, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Self-critical.
That not kind of philosophy of God like really cracks me up. Just like the idea of, even in the first place, that he's asking for a favor. Like, come on, just this once, man. Like, like, help me out. And then also the idea that like an omnipresent entity would just be kind of annoyed. Like, oh, this guy only wants a favor. Like, no. You know, this thing.
Yeah, I think God knows like the intention.
I think he knows the drill. Yeah, and actually doesn't really care that much.
Here, the thing that I will say about these songs is there is a sort of old school formulaic sort of construction to these that I would actually say I sort of admire, I will say, yeah. Only because I remember growing up when you could guess basically what the name of a song was just by listening to the song, you know,
yeah,
where you would hear it. And so it's like, oh, of course this song has to be Dance Your Body or whatever, because they say it in the chorus or whatever, where you would be able to guess a song to be able to find it later.
Everybody does now. And I feel like
there's so many songs now where it is, the name of the song has nothing to do with the actual content of the song.
Yeah. Right. So abstract, or they just give it a person's name for no reason.
Right.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of just saying, we're going to tell you a straight up story here, and then you could just judge, hey, was that a good story or not? They're not like throwing weird curves.
They still do that old school straight ahead thing of just like, we're going to land on the title of the song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're going to know what the name of the song. You'll be able to guess the name of the song by how much force we sing that part over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, that has to be Need a Favor.
Right. But you know what? You can't hide a bad song just by giving it a weird off the subject title. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right. They got to earn
it. It's more transparent.
Yeah.
In some ways, that's why, that's kind of why this hits on something, because they, it's like they have these generic ass titles, and then I guess their game is like they got to earn it in
some
way.
Try to make a new one.
They make it a little bit interesting.
Right.
But I'll say a lot of them don't. Like, we've had 3 out of 4 so far have not. And I find when you dig into these charts, that's about right. Some of them are pretty obvious.
Can't win them all. All right.
Can't win.
Coming in at number one.
Number one.
This one kind of, there's not really a point, but this is Luke Combs with Fast Car.
Car, Tracy Chapman.
The cover.
Oh, it's the, okay.
It's the Tracy Chapman one, and it's really very faithful to it, surprisingly. Like, it's not bad.
You got a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better.
This guy needs a favor.
Yeah.
can you drive me to another state? I can look for work.
Myself, I got nothing to prove.
I think it does work good as a sort of a depression era, you know, type of a lament. Like,
yeah.
If you went to a lot of the meth towns, the fentanyl towns, like, this song is probably hitting pretty hard.
Yeah, this, it's, it is very faithful to the point where it basically is asking you, which voice do you like?
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you like my voice or Tracy Chapman, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like Kids Bop. They just change it to kids. They go, what do you like, Bruno Mars or this kid who sounds like Bruno Mars?
Are you somebody who doesn't like
Hang on a second. Hang on 1 sec. Someone's at my door.
Oh, wow. Who could that be?
Yeah. And then we come in and then all in the back, you just see like this big, huge scuffle. Like, oh my God.
You see the robot?
Yeah.
The Dubai robot.
What did you say?
Just like a robot holding Howard by his neck, just like right into the, like walking across the screen. How far are you from getting the studio, your in-house studio done?
Oh, man. It's so frustrating because it's so close in some ways. And then the electrician just keeps on stiffing me, like just won't come and finish what he's got to do. And it's
won't killing come.
Me. Yeah.
Sorry. The guy is a guy here for an inspection. I had this. There's no... I got no advance notice. Just all of a sudden, I'm like, he was inside. He's still here now. He's got to check stuff.
We thought it might be the Dubai robot.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Carol Lombardi called the king of Bahrain and he sent the robot over.
All right. Well, I hope the inspection goes well. That was our chart.
Oh, right on. And we'll be right back with the movie chart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it was like there's a robot inside. Yeah, he's got a light on his head. You probably see him when he comes in.
Yeah.
It's like a robot and he has on just regular, like working class clothes. Like, what?
That way he has a light visor.
Nice.
Hey, do you need to come in more? Oh, I wanted him to cross through. It's got like a,
ask him if he wants to be on the podcast.
Like LeVar Burton and
Star Trek. Yeah.
He's got the light. There's like a light thing across his head. So when you guys were going, I could be a robot. It was like I was greeted by just this light.
Yeah.
But it was like one of those, straight across ones.
Crazy.
But he just took a picture of the whole kitchen and just left.
Wow, it's a fast inspection.
I'll
look at this later.
His inspection is Howard a slob? Click clank.
Yeah, absolutely yes.
That's really how all inspections should be. Just like I'll take a picture, then I'll just analyze this. I'll leave. Later.
But they could have just sent a drone through the window.
Yeah,
but he's just gonna have a picture of like a profile shot. of me just sitting here on the laptop, and then they're going to be trying to look behind me to see if the...
He's going to see your TV over the stove. He's going to be like, what's up with that?
And then the one thing he needed in there, he goes, I need to check the smoke detector.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I pulled it out of the ceiling because it was beeping. I go, I got it. Classic. It was in the summer shrine. I got it here in the shrine. And I just said, do you need to see it?
In the shrine? Did you call it the shrine to him?
Probably.
I got it here in the shrine. That's why he bolted out of there.
Yeah. You
know, he's just like, I cannot figure this guy out.
Yeah, he just says, I'm out. But, anyway, that was crazy.
I got it here in the shrine. Oh, that kills me.
Head on a swivel for the strike.
That's all right.
We're back for the movie chart?
Yeah, we're back for the movie chart.
All right. We'll see what's bringing them back to the theaters.
All right. Coming in at number five.
Oh, we got to do the theme.
Oh, yeah. That's right. How could I forget? All right. Let's do the...
history of movies.
Know. Here we go.
Movies. They used to be silent. Nowadays, they are loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen are fucking giant. Movies. All right. We'll see what's bringing them back into the theaters, but I know that they're off. They're not making as much money as they used to.
No. It's hard out there for an Iger.
Mm-hmm. But they cost less, though, right? Now, they cost less to make, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they should be making more.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not for the big ones, but I think the biggest ones are the ones that make the most money. So I think the fast...
That would be such a surprising news item. Like, hey, movies are a lot cheaper. Like, somehow, everything else in the world goes way up.
And then Bob Iger goes, well, they're not because of the technology, but because it costs too much to pay all these people.
Yeah, if we didn't have to pay these extras, we wouldn't have to put out less movies. Yeah.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Elemental.
This is Disney. This is a Bob Iger Resident production. Element City.
He might be selling off Pixar, though. We have to see. Earth can be a little seedy. You know, there's rumors that Apple is going to buy Disney, just all of Disney.
Yeah. Can that happen?
I don't know, but it's
wait, just, they could buy Pixar, are you saying?
All of Disney. All of Disney could be
Apple. Is that possible? Wow.
It's kind of mind-boggling. Like,
that doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't even seem possible that a company could be bigger than Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Touchstone or one of those is the only one bigger or something.
Yeah, that could be. Wow. It doesn't seem possible as I look around my room at all my Apple gear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In some ways, though, it's like it's slightly.
Yeah, where did all that money come from?
It's slightly intriguing because, like, Apple at that point could just make actual Star Wars technology with the Disney IP, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the Stormtroopers, they look like an Apple product. They're all white.
That's true. Yeah.
No ports or anything.
You get the U2 red Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those cross-pollination movies where it's just like, all right, well, now here we are in this new Star Wars whatever. And like
the
robots got some sort of form of like something that clearly looks like an Apple Watch
an
that
iPad,
you're going to be able to buy at the store. Like.
Right. Tie in.
Apple hologram. All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Insidious, The Red Door. Crazy
stuff with my dreams. How did this get? Oh, this is horror.
Horror.
Those are not dreams. It's happening again. Something is following us.
I'm going to need you to remain still.
Well? Well, going this into an MRI is already kind of a horror.
Ooh, wow. Spooky.
Spooky.
You better
medical.
Not move. You better not move. That's the whole movie. It's just trying to
get him to move.
Yeah, don't move.
We got to start over. He moved. It's our horror will never get killed off. I mean, they could make this stuff pretty cheap and put it out independently. So we don't have to worry about this going away.
A friend of mine, he has two little kids, and he was like, well, we were just on vacation and we didn't want to, and the kids wanted to watch something, but they didn't want to watch something too scary or something, but they weren't, or something. And then he goes, yeah, so we just watched Insidious, and these kids are like 4 and 7 or something.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and I said, you watched Insidious? Like, why did you preface like, oh, we didn't watch something that was really scary, and then you tell me that you watched Insidious.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a few of them, so I guess they had watched two of them, but he goes, it wasn't not really scary at all. They're not that scary. So I was like, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound
know, man. To a kid. Well, I mean, those, what he's raising the future generation there. I mean,
yeah.
What is scary if that's not scary? Like beheading videos? Well, what's scary then?
Yeah. Well, I've never seen Insidious, so I don't know. If he would have said something like one of those movies like Hereditary or something, I would go like, oh, no, you. But I don't know Insidious. Maybe it's just like, boom. But
it's definitely a horror movie. I know from like little nephews and nieces, like that you never know what they'll be scared of. They'll be scared of certain Disney movies. Mm-hmm. Like I remember like portions of Pinocchio scaring me as like a tiny
me
kid.
Me too.
You know?
Chitty chitty bang bang. Scary.
Well, I guess these are some tough kids.
Yeah.
Some tough kids.
Some
tough
goth kids.
Yeah. They're going to be the ones who are tough enough to beat the robots because they grew up watching horror when they were 4.
We're going to be hiding behind these kids. All right, coming in number 3.
Number 3.
Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny. Yeah, soon this is going to be in the Apple Watch of Destiny. I really hate that they use Sympathy for the Devil in this.
It's crazy.
It's just so wrong.
It's wrong.
What are we drinking?
Same for the goddaughter.
Dad told me you found something on a train during the war.
They found Mick Jagger's skeleton or Keith Richards' elixir to life.
Yeah.
Don't move.
We need to get out of here.
Is that the Fleabag chick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah.
It is.
I'm not promoting Fleabag. That wasn't in it.
Yeah. Careful.
Careful.
Yeah.
We're not scabbing here.
Yeah.
But you can network at the picket line. I mean, that there's no, you know what I mean? I'm sure that's there's true. People that meet and do projects because they met on picket line. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's true. I saw people taking pictures with people on the picket line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, schmoozing. Like there was one where I almost wanted to do that thing. That is that horrible thing that I saw some woman take a picture with the guy and she seemed so excited and like she had somebody take it for him and he walked off and I almost wanted to go, hey man, who are you? Cause I was just, right. But part of it was not because I just didn't know who he was and wanted to know who he was. I saw him and I thought this might be somebody that somebody I know knows. Right. That, and this is reminding me of them. And I don't know if it's that person.
Right.
That was my thinking about it.
Right.
But because then if it would have been like, oh, I'm so like, oh, I know. So I would know blank. Right.
Right.
Yeah. But it was like, but it's too much to say.
What if he was just like, what if you asked him and he was just like, I do porn. And you're like, oh, that's how I know.
I should know you.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone. Someone did that to Lauren Lapkus on a Comedy Bang Bang tour a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Where
it was
saying,
like,
who
it was
are you?
So wild to see because she was like, her star was definitely rising at that time and more and more people were recognizing her. But like, we were in a hotel and about to get into the elevator to like go to our rooms. And this woman came running like across the hotel towards her, like, wait. And then you knew it was a fan, but then to go all that way and then go, wait, like, don't get in. Who are you again? Who are you? Like, making Lauren do the work of giving her resume. It's
crazy.
Like, it was so crazy to me. It's like, oh my God.
Exhausting. Probably.
Yeah, did Lauren explain who she was?
You know what? I can't really remember. She might have said Orange is the New Black or something.
She said, give me a suggestion of who I am.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, because the worst part, I had somebody coming over here to sort of like fix the alarm and all that type of stuff. And he was a nice
inspector. Do you have a light on his head?
Inspector. He came in and he was a really cool dude. But we got into that thing where he then asked me, oh, you know, because I was here during the day and he was like, da da da, you work from home. And I was like, oh, and I'm going to explain sort of my situation. And then. Then they start asking you stuff like, oh, you know, like, oh, like what or whatever. And it's always that thing when you start like telling some of your credits and you're hoping, and when you don't have credits, that's like, oh, yeah, I was on Friends or whatever. Like the thing that you would at least know, like you have to, it's like that thing where you're like, now I have to try to figure out something that you might have seen me.
That you might know. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the guys from Friends was on that one time also.
It's like, dog, we don't have to do this, man. We don't have to do this. You don't know my work at all.
The worst thing. I feel like in music, it's maybe even worse because people will ask like, oh, what band are you in? Or whatever. And then, you know, it's like this weird balance because it's like, I can tell you the name of the band and I'm proud of it, but I know you're not going to know the band.
Right.
But then also, I do want to also assure you that it is like kind of a legitimate band, you know, like it's not just like a little garage band. Like when you don't know the name, I want you to still be impressed, you know.
That's why you got to send your mom to like IMDb, just like, you never heard of it, but it's real.
It's real.
Also, at least with the band, it's if you know, you could give the band name. Oh, like, oh, so on and so forth. Like one of our most popular songs is blank. And then they could go to the car and like, let me go see what he's talking about. Listen to the band and see if they like it or not.
Right.
It's hard to be like, oh, I was a guest star on so and so. And like expect them to sort of like, well, let me go watch the episode on YouTube. And like, you know, it's like, it just don't work. Like they're not going to go watch it.
Yeah. It's like not verifiable like that. Sending clips.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Oh man, this is Sound of Freedom.
Jaw tears you to pieces.
Oh, this
so
is
this is I gotta give myself some props for this one because last week I called it out like sight unseen. I was like, hold on a minute. This seems like QAnon shit. Cause it's talking about like child sex trafficking and the elites of the world are.
Well, you're on those sites a lot, so that's how you're able to recognize it.
I sniffed this shit out. No, but this is like, this movie sucks, man. Like, what's happening with it? Like, it's actually popular. Like, it's more popular than Indiana Jones.
But hold up. But does the actual movie suck or just what it's doing?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Politics. Maybe it's rip-roaring fun. But it is insidious, to use that word again. It's like, this is like crazy Nazi propaganda, and it's just on the movie.
So it's promoting QAnon?
Yes, it's promoting like a super far-right fascist conspiracy theories that like Jews are after, you know, children's blood and shit like that.
Wow.
Like that, it's crazy that what we're seeing.
What I did hear about this, because I saw it and was like, oh, okay. Not the movie, but I just saw that it existed.
Yeah.
And apparently, this movie was made in like 2018 or something, and then it got shelved. And then now after the fact, they're like, the campaign about itself, and this is why it's so popular, is because the campaign in itself is sort of being like, hey, everybody, this is the thing that they don't want you to see, like that sort of vibe.
So it's banned from all the theaters and stuff.
Right, yeah, while like they don't really sort of say anything, particularly like QAnon stuff or whatever, like say that exactly, it is like those type of people have like rallied around this film.
Yeah.
And that when I was reading about that and I was like, oh, okay. And
so now they want to find stuff.
They're so obsessed with this idea that because it's banned from certain places, that must mean it's the hidden truth or something. Right. Where you're like, maybe the more likely thing is you're on such a stupid side of all these issues. Like it's a lot easier to be on the unbanned
side. Two Live Crew was banned in the USA, and there was a lot of truth.
Right.
There was a lot of truth.
There was a lot of truth. I can't even say a lyric. I know. You're so raunchy.
You're so raunchy.
We love you long time. We could say that.
I mean, I wish it was just banned for raunch. That would be.
Yeah, no. It's wild. And then, they can say, oh, they don't want you to see it. And it's like, no, there was just pandemic, you assholes. But.
And the guy, the guy who Jim Caviezel plays is a real person. And he is, and it's like sort of that thing that at its face, if you were just somebody who didn't know anything and just sort of like saw an interview or something and you just hear him going like, hey man, we just want to save children. Like there's children being trafficked. You
would hide behind that shit.
Oh yeah. I don't like that either. I don't want to see children.
Yeah. Who would want that?
They're banking on all of that. And it's like, it's working. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to see. Like there was even New York Times blurb just going like, the surprise hit of summer, like Sound of Freedom, like no context at all being like, this is actual like Nazi propaganda,
right?
You know, wrapped you know, up like, in this stuff.
It's a little bit of a cheat. It's like, of course, if you just put outright hate in movies, there's going to be a certain element that's going to rush out.
Yeah.
But if AI figures that out, all movies.
A person said, and this is the only thing, just to give a fair and balanced sort of information for your listeners, which is that in the movie, it's such the act of going and getting children or something is so like, just get in and get out, got to get the kids, like that sort of like really sort of like we're just going and we're going to save them, that type of thing, which is apparently like something that guy is sort of like his style or whatever, that he really was doing that. And then people sort of have been saying that when you're saving or rehabilitating people who were in, you know, the sex trade, like traffic, like this, like that particular style isn't a high percentage sort of way to sort of like keep them from that lifestyle. Like, because they don't give them any sort of like resources, all type of stuff to be able to sort of like get out of that condition.
They're just like, oh, we saved you. Now you're free.
And then they end up a lot of times ending up back into sort of that trade. So it was really interesting to sort of go like the percentage of how of this actually working long lasting is lower than sort of like the slower method that some of the other foundations or whatever that goes and tries to save
the actual way you would do it.
Yeah.
It's like when they Rambo.
Yeah.
When Rambo, they try to look like, oh, I'll go over to Vietnam and beat them all by myself.
Right.
No, really. It's actually.
That's what you always see with like any, like the warfare or whatever. Like there's always that crowd of just idiots who are just like,
yeah, they're turning well, we, into we're like just an like,
if we just go in and nuke them, we'll win. And you're just like, well, what are you trying to even say right there? Like, what are you trying to even win?
Right.
Just like a pile of ashes.
Like, that's no, not, I saw that's Chuck not the Norris fucking movie, point. And that's why. Yeah.
Right. All right. That's crazy, though, that this is number two, like ahead of Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
I mean, and we spent the most time talking about this movie, so obviously it's working.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Mission I wonder what Impossible. It could be. Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
I saw this one.
Wow. How was this?
You know what? It was great. It was super fun. Yeah. It's just, you know, these movies, they've got them dialed in. They're always fun. This is the first half of two, though. Like, so they're going to do a second Dead Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say is that they did the like top of the train fight scene again, which I feel like I've seen about 45 times
in
different movies, and they managed to make it good. Like, it was still fun. But
I've seen this movie also, and I think it is. The thing I love, Tom really makes you let you know, like, hey, I'm out here really being dangerous.
Yeah.
This isn't I'm really jumping off this cliff. I'm really fighting on this train. Like, that is the draw. He's like, whatever you seen on the other stuff, they weren't doing it for real. I'm out here really living this life.
Yeah. Like, watch it and see if I die, even though you're right. Know,
from what I've heard, I haven't seen Indiana Jones, but I heard that they have like remarkably similar scenes in them. And so, like, it's a funny time where Mission Impossible is going against Indiana Jones, and people are saying like Mission Impossible is just doing it so much better because all of Indiana Jones is just CGI and like looks fake. In Mission Impossible, you actually get that kind of like crazy feeling of watching Tom Cruise like on the bike,
the realness,
jumping off the cliff.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no,
holy shit.
I've seen Indiana Jones and that is also true. I didn't even put them together, but there are like, oh yeah, they're fighting on the train. They're fucking, is like a lot of similar content.
They must have used AI. The studios don't even want to admit it.
Well,
they used
Mission
AI
Impossible,
to write the movies.
Mission Impossible, the villain is AI.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
He wrote it.
Yeah. But what's really funny about it to me, the funniest part, like the most absurd part, is like they spend all this time really getting you afraid of the AI and feeling like, whoa, this is the worst villain yet because it's global. It's in all the equipment. It's everywhere. You can't nail it down anywhere. Like it's this phantom we're after. And then they just go, but if we find this one key
and we blow
can
it up,
we can use the key and then turn the thing off. You're like, what? You just said that's not how it works.
We can, but we got to get the one specific key.
Yeah.
No, and there's only one key in the world that
there's
can do
one that. Key. That's how the AI, the one Achilles heel.
It's so like watching.
If I ever.
Go ahead, Howard.
No, just if when I design the 2.0, I'm going to make it like the key even smaller. So it's just like it's harder to find even. Go ahead.
It's I like action movies, and it's interesting because I feel like I'm getting to sort of that age range where if I'm thinking about, I want to watch something. You know, you're just scrolling through sort of these endless supply of whatever you can watch.
Yeah.
And then I sort of go back, oh, remember that 90s? Like, I feel like I find myself, I'm getting like my dad to where like whenever I go to my dad's house, all he has on is rather sports or like old Westerns.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point where it's like, well, sure, I'll watch some new stuff if it strikes me. But if there's something new I could watch it. And then there's other things and I just watch something
like
old.
I know this old thing's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with that, then watching some old stuff, you see how practical the effects are for real. You're like, oh, they really blew that car up. They really smashed that thing. Like that person really seemingly probably was hurt from that stunt because that's not one that you just get up from like, all right, I dust myself off and ready to go again. That's like one of those like that person went to the hospital after that blowed up. Like it's like you see
let's see the realness.
It's really
like do a amazing Transformers movie with those robots. Let's see what it really looks like when they fight inside a office building or something.
It's crazy to me how much better it is like when you see when the real thing, the practical effects, even if it's a much smaller effect.
You don't pull out of it mentally.
Yeah, and you're almost thrilled to kind of just like in the back of your mind, you know
that they pulled it off.
Yeah, like that wrestling. They pulled it off. Like what went into making that thing. Cause like I saw the thing in the cemetery, for Synespia. Mm-hmm. They were playing the thing. And I was amazed at like all the practical effects scenes, like when the monsters came, the alien things, and they're these like gooey, pus filled, like practical effects puppets and shit.
It was real.
It was like the audience, like when you, it brought me back to a time where like those scenes were like these choice little scenes in the movie that you cheered for. Just seeing the thing, like you cheered for it. Like everyone's like, yeah, like there it is. Like the effects budget scene, where it's like everyone kind of like feels that like, they put the money into this. This is like a new.
Right. They did a good job. Those guys.
Now it's just like there's effects. There's huge effects like everywhere painted all over a movie. No one's like impressed,
Right.
Like it was fun to be impressed by a scene.
Yeah. When it's tighter budget, they have to come up with stuff that ingenuity sparks innovation. Was that number one?
Yeah. Miss Impossible is number one.
Number one.
Tom Cruise never misses.
Yeah, he's single-handedly saving the movie.
There's a lot of scenes in here where I swear his face just went in and out of like about a 10-year range. Where it's like some of the scenes he seemed like freshly Botoxed or something, where I'm like, wow, he looks pretty right, good right. there, you know? And then the next scene is like, it's like his whole face like crinkles up. Like
yeah, we
crazy.
Had to use the take from earlier in the morning when yeah. Tom was just waking up and looks yeah. about 55 years older. Yeah.
Do you think, Brett, do you think that after two, this is the last one, or do you think Tom will make these until he's dead?
I don't know. I bet I could maybe imagine sees, maybe one or two more, but I feel like he's starting to crack. Like the, you know,
he's like Tom Brady. He's going to retire soon.
He had an amazing run where he could get away with being like a younger looking action star.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like it's starting to bend the other way, but we'll see.
He doesn't want to turn into Harrison Ford in that Dial of Destiny.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and Harrison looked every bit of old, and they at least did it to the point where it wasn't like you felt like they were trying to sell you that Indiana Jones, this person who's always been this sort of like everyman hero, sort of even right. in his 70s or whatever, however old he's supposed to be, he's still this fighting action. Like he was still old in the movie. Like I'm way too old for this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Tom Cruise just at least gives up the stunt man stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I do kind of feel like that's almost, people must be annoyed with him. Because if he breaks an ankle or something, it's like the whole production has to be stalled for, you know, months.
Right. Didn't that happen in the filming of this one? He got hurt, so they had to sort of like shut him down for a while.
Probably. He's always running everywhere in it.
Well, now we'll see, because they have to stop production for other reasons.
Yeah.
But exciting stuff. We're glad that he is taking that on and he's bringing people back inside the theaters. And we'll be right back with the Hot Picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Why would Fran Drescher, you know, like the joke about Fran Drescher was that her voice was annoying. Like that was the whole joke of the nanny.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't they just use her to be like, you know,
like to go and negotiate.
Yeah. And annoy them and wear them down. But
that's so funny.
The like, whole joke of the nanny.
Wasn't it? You would hear that voice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The nanny's.
I mean, that's what I remember for sure.
Yeah. Her and Rosie Perez.
Yeah. It's yeah. Like, that's who you want them. Like, you know, the way the army uses noise and shit. Like they right. played Metallica like torture. To the terrorists or whatever.
All right. Here we go.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks.
All right, these are the Hot Picks. Let's see if we did better than iHeartRadio country chart. We probably did.
Probably did. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is my first pick. This is by Slaughter Beach Dog. It's called Strange Weather. Honestly, I kind of forget how this one goes, but I had it on my list.
Wow, didn't sound like I thought.
Yeah.
If I saw the light, would I know? She tiptoes to me in her sleeping clothes. A million different people go to work.
I like that. I like the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of this thing?
The band is Slaughter Beach, comma, Dog.
Slaughter Beach Dog.
Slaughter Beach Dog.
Yeah. It's interesting because it has that sort of country, it's at that leaning country sound, but the vocal does not sound like any of the vocal stylings that we just heard. It's like an indie vocal on a country sound more.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's like, where's the part where it's like, we was at Ben again's on the right.
They're not doing any of the vocal tricks that I'm sure all the country singers have learned how to do.
Yeah. Right.
It's like California country.
Yeah. Surf country. Well, I like that. I like the sound.
Yeah. Laid back.
Laid back,
slightly
good stuff for summer
vibes. All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Here is Howard's pick. This is an actual country song, and it's called "That Dog" by Kaylee Hammett.
You guys
got to
guess. You guys got to guess this one.
Okay.
That dog.
That dog.
It's a song about a person who goes to the pound and they say that dog is the one they want. They choose
that, that nice dog, and he had sad eyes, and then they found him. That's good.
I think it's like that dog. Like she's calling her ex boyfriend a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just a scout.
Ooh, that's good too. Actually, that's good. That dog, you think she's talking about a dog. She's talking about the dog.
Yeah.
All right, let's find out. I already know the answer, so I can't guess. Let's find out what's going on with this one.
Here we go. Kaylee Hammock.
I've never been through this kind of heart. I've never quite missed something this way. Give you back the spare key, threw the baggage in the backseat, drove away crying, but not about you and me. All I really miss is that dog. I can't sleep at night, I picture drunk and he's all alone. Did
That's
you
great.
Even leave on the light? You knew what you were.
Wow. You know what? I like that a lot.
Isn't that good?
That feels like a very authentic
sentiment. Yeah, it's a real story.
Right.
She's just missing the dog more than him.
Yeah. So sometimes they do surprise you in a good way. I thought that was one of them. Mm-hmm. Never heard a song like that. Did you start crying? Are you looking for Wally?
Yeah, I wanted to show you
I'll
Wally.
Start. We can pause, start. It's okay. We can pause. Do you need to collect yourself?
Oh, man. I actually just spooked Wally. I wanted to show you him real quick because he's lying on his back with all four paws like up in the air. It was so funny looking.
I know.
But it did make me think of him.
Well, yeah, love for a dog goes deep.
I like how she got into the details too. Like, I bet you're not even leaving the light on.
Yeah, yeah, you're screwing that dog over.
Yeah,
that dog loved me.
That dog loved me.
I've had that with the former regime. Like with Haley, she had this cat, and the cat definitely liked me better.
Yeah, you bonded with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Happens.
Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Ronnie's pick. This is Central C and Dave with UK Rap.
She don't listen to UK Rap. If it ain't Dave or Cinch, she a six, but a friend is a four. A freeway gonna make that 10. Are you sure you wanna make that wife? We know her since way back when. If it's a rose, then it gotta be a Cullinan. G63 if Mercedes. White selection of gala we got right now. Go broke and watch them all leave us. I can't give her home my jumper. She'll go home and put it on Depop. I'm in the car with my girl and my guy. Call me, I'm like, bro, you're on Depop. Toxic relationship in my bitch. One day we split, now we're going Antigua. Three man jump out the four-door vehicle. It's a miracle if a boy don't get touched. Don't step on our block and trespass. Got a check-in and apply for a Esther. Young G came to the Dragon's Den. He won a 9-bar and he needed investor. Uber Lux with a foot inside. She ain't coming to fuck. There's a key in the S-Class.
Uber Lux.
That's good.
That's great.
Like, I don't listen to... I mean, well... First of all, the sentiment of the song is very true, which in the beginning is she don't listen to UK rap if it's not Dave or Search. So it's like she don't listen to UK rap unless it's us. And it is sort of that thing that is like, I don't listen to much UK rap. There's sometimes when I hear something that catches my ear, but for the most part, it's to me, it's like listening to a song and like taking key words. It's like they're speaking the same language that we speak, mm-hmm. but somehow when you hear it, it's like, is it? So they're like listening to a song and then finding key words to sort of like piece together what this sentence means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys, I liked it because like a lot of fast rap, you can't understand it because I think because they're British, like you can't hear what they're saying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, then you just got to translate it.
Yeah, then you got
to
translate.
You just have to figure out what exactly it means.
Yeah. But I said it's funny in the beginning because she was a six, but her friend was a four. Like, that's no compliment to the first chick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're starting with this.
She's saying that makes a 10, I think.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you're good at
see,
this.
See, we have to sit there and piece these lyrics together a math problem.
I only heard that part.
Then he said, I can't give her a jumper because she'll sell it on Depop.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And it was like, oh, he's not going to give her his clothes because then she'll just take it home and use to make money off of it. Right. Depop is like eBay for clothes.
Yeah. Oh, see, and I did not know that.
I feel like that's a big shout out for Depop. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's the beauty of studying this stuff. It's like Shakespeare. You get these different meanings. And
right.
I like that the beat kind of sounded like Super Mario if you're in like Bowser's castle.
Oh, sort of like a villain yeah, stage.
Villain stage. Yeah. I'm creeping up.
Well, that's a good one. I like that. I like when something breaks through because let's face it, England has not done the same with rap as they did with rock, which they innovated and did as good as us. They've lagged behind us in rap. They've had plenty of time, don't you think?
Yeah. I think
they don't have guns there, so it's like it took them a while to figure out how to sound dangerous.
Exactly. Like, you know, if you've ever seen the bits, and it's like there are people, even English people, who sort of make the joke that is like, hello, I'm about to rap now, and it's like goofy sort of. And so I think it is like no matter how somebody can be genuinely tough, like a genuine killer, and there still is just something about like hearing an English person rap that does not immediately put you in that headspace.
Yeah,
right. You're like
it's always a little Ollie G.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like he's trying to sound like an American rapper, but.
And to them, they hear and they kind of go like, yeah, that's how we talk. It sounds like us. But everyone else is like, yeah, we'll just stick to what we associate rap to sound like.
Right. And then like we only know the Queen and like, you know, certain things with England, like, you know, the mass of America. So it just sounds like
Hello.
Yeah.
Right. Sweeney talk.
Lost the soccer
Hello.
Guy.
I'm going to stab you now or something. And you're like, okay, I get maybe. Why am I not afraid of this threat?
Yeah. Right. I'm from America.
Yeah, I know you. I know you ate some like fish and chips right after this song.
All I have is traveler's checks in my fanny pack, so take them, I guess. Whatever.
So wait, this is two artists, and one of them is just named Dave.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the artist's name. He's like as big as Jay-Z over there.
Oh, really?
Dave is massive.
There's a few like big rappers. Dave is one of them. I mean, it is funny because his name is just
Good for him for just trying to take that name. Just put his flag on the name
Dave. That's it.
Dave. In the land of David Bowie. No, this guy's Dave.
Yeah, this is Dave.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is Sparks, who I just saw this weekend live at Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to that. I missed that whole thing. I wake up and I'm like, oh, I blew it.
Dude.
Shout out to John.
Yeah, it was John Flansburg. Killed it,
Sorry
man.
To come through.
Yep. Yeah, we saw They Might Be Giants and Sparks, and they both just slayed. And you could tell it was a big show for both of them. Like the two Sparks guys like didn't want to leave the stage at the end. You could tell
they're loving it.
They were just soaking in the audience, the bowl audience.
And yeah, that's a dream gig. And they're an LA band and that's the oldest venue in LA.
They were awesome.
It's big.
Super fun. I went with Scott Aukerman.
Oh, right on.
And it was super great, except I can't stop thinking about our farewell like handshake. Like he went to slap hands or something. And I went to do like a slap and a grip, and it all went wrong because he was being carried away by the herd at the end of the show. And like I managed to only grab like a finger of his, and it was the weirdest sign off.
Yeah, that is odd.
yeah, you two both lost sleep over that one.
I'm like, God damn it.
Hey, if we get any artists out there that will do a rendering of that for us, we'd really like to send that in.
It's like the Sistine Chapel with the finger and the...
Are you a Sparks fan, Brett?
I am now more than I ever was. Like they kind of passed me by. I think they passed a lot of people by. I knew I did. Yeah,
they were never
that
huge, you know, right. Unless you did a deep dive. You
I knew like Angst in My Pants or whatever that's called. Like the some of the 80s stuff.
I Predict.
And then they had some like glammy early 70s stuff, which is really cool. And I like,
are you into them, Ronnie?
I seen the documentary that they put out recently. And it's like, they're one of those sort of bands that when you watch something or a documentary about somebody and they're like playing their music throughout and you're like, oh, that's kind of, it's like the way that they set it up makes you really excited about like, oh, okay, like great. Like, and they're playing these songs and the songs sound really good. And every song they keep playing, like, oh, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. You're like, oh, man, I'm going to really like this band. And then you sort of sit down to like, listen, like, all right, now a lot of time to listen to an album. And you start playing and you're like, I don't know why the passion isn't here for me right now as it was, and it was like that sort of thing. And I'm not necessarily saying that means that I'm not going to listen to them or whatnot, but it's like sometimes I'll watch sort of like, because I watch
maybe
a lot of documentaries.
Overhyped.
Yeah. Or you're just like, oh man, that really sounds exciting. And then when you sit down, it's always like, you know what? I'll come back and listen to them. And I think they fell into that category.
I think documentaries can do that too. Because even when you watch like a documentary about a movie company or something like that, like a schlocky 70s movie company, then you're like, you get all excited to see all those movies.
Oh, right.
And then sometimes when you sit through them, some of them are kind of a slog, you know? So I get what you're saying.
But they were great. Had tons of energy. You know, they're up there now in age and they sounded awesome. But anyway, so this is a new song, and I like this song, and it's called Nothing Is As Good As They Say It Is, and it's a funny subject. It's about being born, and you're 22 hours into life, and you want to go back because it's not as good as they say it is. And tell me that this doesn't sound like a Howard Kramer song. Like, I realized it after like two or three times listening, and I'm like, wait a minute. this, everything about the lyrical sort of flow and the concept of it to me sounds like you.
Right on.
Which is a compliment. Here we go.
Thank you. Not to them, but to me.
As good as they say it is, that's the way it is. I wish I'd known beforehand. I was born just 22 hours ago, but I want to go back to my former quarters. Mama, mama, can you accommodate? Mama, mama, tell me I'm not too late. Mama, mama, can you cooperate? This will not work, I'm sure. Nothing is as good as they say.
It sounds like one of the summer songs because there's like a very strong narrative. I know what you're saying. So,
this part to me sounds like a part we would have put in a song.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like this bridge.
Yeah.
Whatever part.
He was happy where he was in the womb.
It's all downhill after that, yeah.
Yeah, some of like that stuff,
one. That's a good classic sounding song from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, you know, as not the most like flag waving Sparks fan or whatever, I know some of the stuff. Like, the show was interesting because it was 90% obviously just like really, really good stuff. But then some of the new songs or some of the maybe 2000s era songs. Could have been like a Mike Myers SNL parody of a band like them, like if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like
Sprockets,
like kind of just like the new wave voice
of the time. Yeah, right. Hard to help that. Yeah,
they sort of seem like they're LA guys pretending to be weird German guys.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Yeah, that feels like kind of their vibe.
Like, even a song like this, it like, AI can't do this. Like, right. AI can't make a song like that. Because you have to then sit and then think, man, what if I was 22 hours into the world and I decided that it wasn't as good as I say it is and I wanted to go back into the body? Like, it's like, the concept of that song doesn't make sense.
That's what we need. That's what's going to destroy AI. That's what we need. That's the weapon. Not the key. That.
Not the key. All right. Coming in at number five. Or number one. Sorry. Whoa.
Whoa. Number one.
This is Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son, who Howard and I saw. This is All Four Winds. Huh? Oh.
With four winds, taking my time, but I know it'll never end. Somewhere my phone's been ringing, but we left them hanging long ago. Ain't nobody knows the sea we sang in. Somewhere on the great sea floor, there's a door.
Whoa.
Nobody's seen us. We're right here. You and the sea and the sky meet. All four winds waving goodbye.
I think it's cool because it doesn't really sound like his dad, you know? Like, he has the voice of his dad, but there's also something else there. And this is like a good vehicle for that. I think like this could be his biggest hit or something.
I agree. I wasn't hearing just a ripoff. Like, he was doing something else.
Is that
it almost sounded like a Neil Young song or a Harry Nielsen song.
Or kind of like early 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely had that sort of cool water sort of just like we're on the beach. I'm in a hammock just sort of just. Like we're on a vacation. It's like a real smooth
I could imagine like kayaking to that.
I've kind of got like a little bit of a Stephen Stills kind of vibe too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's the scene. That's the music from the scene in the movie where it's like, well, what are we going to like it? like, what are we going to do now? And then you cut to like a resort, like a overview of a resort, and that's the music that starts playing at first.
Yeah, yeah. The vibe change.
But you're right. He does sound like his dad. Like, does is his, since you've seen him, is his music generally like Willie Nelson sort of rip-off music, or what?
We saw him singing like his dad's songs and stuff with his dad, so we kind of got that vibe from him. But there's something like even a little higher or like chipmunky about it or something.
Yeah.
It's good.
We saw him just crush like old Willie Nelson songs. He sounded exactly like how his dad used to sound when he was young.
I don't know what his other records sound like.
But they sound like this.
They're good. It's got the ocean vibe too.
And then Willie Nelson's other son is called Particle Boy or Particle.
Yeah, Particle Boy.
Yeah. I'm not sure what he sounds like. But does he make music? Yeah, he does. But he's a much more like grungy. He looks like an at-risk youth compared to Luke Nelson.
Yeah.
Also, isn't Willie Nelson like 100?
Literally 90 years old.
90.
Yeah.
So it's also funny to be like, oh yeah, he has a very young son named Particle Boy. It's like, does he? How? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know how, but it's just always so funny to be like, yeah, I'm 90 years old. This is my 20-year-old son.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He had a bunch of kids like way late in life. Dude is he's getting busy.
He was getting high and getting busy. There's two things Willie Nelson likes, and that's to get high and to get busy.
One of those girls, one of Hefner's girls, just dished on his sex life, and he said he would smoke a joint. He would smoke a joint, then he'd be with each of the seven chicks for 1 minute each.
Really?
Yeah. And they said it was just like a lot of them were
that's so disappointing.
Yeah. And he said, too, that they could order food into the bedroom. Like, food? Like, that's kind of weird. Like, I'm going to wait for my turn. I'm number five tonight, so I'm going to eat some zucchini sticks and then wait for my minute, and then I'll get out of here.
wait,
he would order food or he would let them order food?
The girls could order food while they were in the
bedroom. I could kind of see that as a sort of older, grandfatherly type of guy.
Yeah, like, I got to feed the kids.
Hey, are you hungry? You can order yourself whatever you want. Like,
yeah, whatever you like.
He's like, I'm not going to please you sexually, so the least that I can do is be hospitable.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
The food will take your mind off my terrible fucking.
It sounds funny to even hear, like, oh, one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends, like, is dishing on his sex life. Like, that feels like his entire life has been dishing on his own sex life.
Right, you know? Right. How do they have any dirt?
Yeah.
But, shout out to him. He doesn't have a lot of kids for someone who did that much fucking. He doesn't have like a million kids running around.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Willie's got more kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but if I know Hugh Hefner, he probably was doing a lot of Planned Parenthood trips. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Right. Send him up to the secret shack in the hills. Well, this was super fun. Thank you for coming on. Head on over to, Bones. At Bones Adrian, anywhere on social media, you can find him, or any of the stuff with Comedy Bang Bang or any of the movies and stuff. So check all that out. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, it's great. Check out Comedy Bang Bang World. Once again, Ronnie's been around many times on some of the funniest stuff we've put out.
Have you ever touched Scott's pinky with the just grab Scott's
pinky?
Have
you done that? That's the payment.
No, I don't think I've had, I've never had the pleasure. I think most of the time I see Scotty, he puts his hands in his pocket. Oh. And now I kind of realize why. He's like, all right, Ronnie, I'll see you later. And he immediately dumps his hands in his pocket. And I just go,
touches his pinky. That's for Kulop only.
Yeah. And support your local actor or writer. Check out their stuff with it, because we're not able to plug any of that stuff. So
there you go. Don't think that not watching it is helping. You still got to watch.
Still got to watch.
So definitely do that. Also, check out, I can promote other podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Check out whochartedpod.com. It's got all the old extras and brand new content. And Drop Date Duel. Check that out. Check out Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.